G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
We may think it's self-evident that no person who cares about morals or values would ever see this movie, but it's not self-evident to your 15-year-olds, and with the advent of smartphones and all of the entertainment that was ever created in the history of the world is available to them, we want to be able to equip families to have a conversation.
That's so good.
Do you find it difficult to find suitable entertainment for your family? Our guests today are Adam Holt and Paul Assay from Focus on the Family's Plugged In team. We'll be discussing how they shine a light on the world of popular entertainment while giving families the essential tools they need to understand, navigate, and impact the culture in which they live. That's Adam Holt with Paul Assay with my wife Kate and myself Brett Ryan for Focus on the Family Australia.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining us for our chat about Plugged In.
So excited to be here.
We are very excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, I don't know who to start with. Who wants to answer the first question, Paul or Adam?
Oh, you know, let's give it to Adam.
All right, fair enough.
It's the right choice. Thank you, Paul.
You bet.
Tell us a little bit about the history of Plugged In and why it all started.
Plugged In has been around since the early 1990s. It actually started as a four-page newsletter to parents, and it was the brainchild of Bob DeMoss, who has had several stints here at Focus. I think he's now back here again. I digress. Bob was very concerned about what he saw in the culture with regard to music, especially, and actually put together a book and a traveling roadshow, if you will, called Learn to Discern. And that became kind of the watchword for the early iteration of Plugged In, which wasn't even called Plugged In. It was called Parental Guidance. In 1995, we became a magazine and changed the name to Plugged In.
Right.
In 1999, this is the super speed version, we launched the website. And up to that point, movies had not been our primary focus because we couldn't do them in a way that was timely. But we found very quickly that movies became our bread and butter because that's what people wanted information on each week. And so at this point, our movie reviews are about 40% of our traffic to the website, but we'll talk about some of the other things we review. And we've gone through multiple iterations of our website since then, but the print mag, as it happens so often in the internet age, went away in 2009, so now we're a web-only ministry.
So an interesting little tidbit, the very first article, the very first cover that we had on our newsletter was about The Simpsons. So we are officially
really?
Just about as old as The Simpsons.
And ironically, we express deep, deep, deep concern about The Simpsons and its sarcasm and its cynicism. And fast forward, 30 years. Well, now The Simpsons is just about the most family-friendly thing on television because it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And the culture has. And so it's...
And quite prophetic at times as well.
And quite prophetic. So it's interesting to see just the changes that culture has wrought over three decades.
Yeah. Adam and I have been here a long time, but we haven't been here since the beginning.
We haven't quite been here that long.
Just to let you know.
Fair enough. Well, I went on your website, on the PluggedIn.com website, and there was a Bible verse from Colossians 2, verse 8, and says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Can you unpack why that verse?
It's a great question, you know, and I think that it really comes down to the power of media within our culture today, right? Because we find a lot of hollow philosophies being espoused to us and on our screens, in our music, sometimes even in video games, in the books, all that sort of stuff. These are all issues that sometimes we need to deal with.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting because entertainment is always sort of a mixed bag, right? Sometimes within movies, you have these fantastic messages sitting right next to these abhorrent thoughts that you wouldn't want your kids, you know, following. Yeah. So it really becomes a lesson in how to sort of figure out how to talk about both of those elements.
Yeah. I mean, going back to that word Adam said about discernment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just a key word for parents and for young people to be able to discern what is good and what is not so good.
Absolutely.
I love picking up on the word that you said, we've got to talk about it. So if we're watching something with our kids and there's the unsavory and the great messages, we've got to sit there and talk about it and ask them questions about what they think and why they think that way, and do they actually agree with what they're looking at. And so we can then have our input through
and
a discussion.
And the why.
Absolutely. And I think to just riff on that a little bit, you know, I think sometimes when people look at Plugged In, they see us as sort of this yes or no organization. Mm. You can see, you cannot see. But I think our heart is really to get to those conversations, to give parents the tools that they need to talk with their children about what's on these screens, to give them the ability to wade through these messages, to talk about the why.
Yeah.
And if necessary, say, you know what, this isn't really suitable for you. So we can talk about this when you're older.
Yeah. Well, and we also talk about not only the content. If you've been to our website, you know that we break things down in terms of different forms of content that parents may want to be aware of, and we'll probably talk more about that. But in some ways, the bigger picture question has to do with worldview. And worldview is almost an old-fashioned word now. Narrative is the really popular word. But worldview gets at the idea of what's right, what's normal, what's good, what's acceptable. If we want to get philosophical, worldview has to deal with where did we come from, what are we doing here now, and where are we going. But most of the time, you can look at anything. You can look at a commercial. Even as I talk with my own kids who are 11 and 13 and 15, I try to emphasize with them, everything has a worldview. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, that car commercial for 30 seconds, sometimes I'll say, what's the worldview message here?
Yeah.
And the worldview message is, if I just bought, you know, blank car, my life would be awesome. I would have better clothes. Girls would love me. And I would have existential contentment.
I'm sure your kids would be going, oh, Dad, do we have to talk about the philosophical
worldview again? They do. But by the time they're rolling their eyes, what that tells me is that we have cultivated a conversation in which they're thinking critically about things.
What a word.
I'm so glad critical you said thinking. That. We want our children to critically think. I think we get lost sometimes with parents and they don't want their children to question them.
Right.
And, you know, they need to be doing it in a respectful way. But I said, you do want your children questioning. You want them questioning their faith.
Absolutely.
You want them to be critically thinking, because otherwise they're going to pick up every wind of doctrine in the world if they haven't been taught how to critically think through things and run it through scripture.
And I think we live in a culture that is focused almost completely on consumerism, right?
Yeah.
The vast majority of kids today have smartphones, and we're constantly consuming content. Mm. And so one of the other shifts we want to make is from being passive consumers to being actively engaged, making thoughtful decisions, and then intentionally unpacking things. So it doesn't mean we can never watch a movie or listen to a song, even something that may have issues that we need to work through.
Yeah.
But we're making the decision to do it instead of just passively letting it sweep over us.
But the idea is also to really train your kids within that critical thinking, right?
Yeah.
Because eventually they are going to be going out and making their own decisions.
And you
not
want
only,
them to make those right, wise decisions.
Exactly. You want them to be making those wise decisions, not only in the world of entertainment, but in every aspect of their life.
I often talk about the fact that we can create some external filters, electronics, but we need to have those internal filters.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And so if it's always a question of saying, yes, this is good, no, this is not, without talking through some of those things, you're not really preparing your kids for the world ahead.
That's right.
One of the most gratifying things that I think we hear at Plugged In is sometimes we have parents, young parents, who say, I was raised on Plugged In. I hated you guys at the time.
Yes. We've wrecked many a childhood.
I've learned to appreciate it, and now I use Plugged In with my own kids. And those are the type of letters that we really treasure.
Well, speaking of being raised on it, it's been around for a long time. What is the reach of Plugged In? And, you know, how many people are utilizing this? And we know we use it with our children. And so we are the recipients of that. But what's the clicks and what's happening around the world for Plugged In?
You know, on a typical month recently, over the last year or two, and COVID, and, you know, of course, has scrambled everything.
Yes.
We will have between 600,000 and 800,000 unique visitors to Plugged In, and they will typically engage between 1.5 million and 2 million page views a month. Now, we're obviously an American-based ministry. The majority of our audience is a U.S. audience, about 85%. But we do have about 15% from around the world, and you won't be surprised to know that the vast majority of that is English-speaking. So we have a presence in South Africa. We have a presence in Australia, Great Britain, Canada,
New Zealand. On our website. We drive people
to
your website.
Thank you. I was going to say, and we talk about it often.
And interestingly, we get requests fairly regularly for, you know, permission to translate into other languages. So, you know, we've had requests from like Saudi Arabia and Germany, and that would be an interesting conversation too. But there was a time in which our culture globally was lots of patchworks of very individual cultures.
Yeah.
And we're living in such a global culture now. And even movie releases, it used to be something might come out 6 months later.
Yeah.
There still are some gaps, but man, it is a global culture in which the entertainment, a lot of it's being produced in the United States, not all of it. It's showing up immediately globally, simultaneously.
All over the place. Yeah. Whereas some parts of the world, we're getting it, you know, as I said, 12 months later,
right,
or 2 years later or something like that. But now it's happening all the time. My name is Brett Ryan, and I hope you're enjoying the show. Stay with us as my wife, Kate, and I continue our conversation with Adam Holt and Paul Assay from Focus on the Family's Plugged In team, right here on Focus on the Family Australia.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
Hi, and welcome back to Focus on the Family Australia. Today's guests are Adam Holt and Paul Assay from Focus on the Family's Plugged In team, along with my wife Kate and myself, Brett Ryan.
So you write reviews on movies, TV, games, music, YouTube, and even books. How do you decide which ones to review, as there's an avalanche of content coming
there
through?
Is an absolute avalanche of content. It's ridiculous. We try to keep up with it as well as we can, but it's impossible for us to cover everything. And so we tend to look for things. Obviously, if there's a huge blockbuster movie out, we want to review it. Things that are going to be going to a wide audience, we want to do.
Yeah.
But we also look for maybe under the radar things that have really good family messages, or that we think might be of a special interest to families, Christian movies, and things that have buzz within the culture. You know, sometimes we have these things that, these movies especially.
And sometimes TV shows.
And sometimes TV shows that are getting a lot of traction within the culture. We want to give our readers and our users the ability to talk about those things and examine them from a Christian point of view.
Yeah, and that's great. And that's what's needed. But even if you're not a Christian,
absolutely,
this is still great advice.
Yeah.
Right. This is still really helpful for many of our listeners who want to bring up their children with values.
Exactly.
But for those who have got a faith, it gives you a framework. But as I said, it's this dialogue you want to have with your kids. So that's the reason why you do even maybe controversial ones, that ones that you think, oh, well, I would never let my child go and see that, or we would never watch that movie. And but you need to talk it because it's culturally relevant.
So I have a story. I have a personal story. My son's 15. He comes to me about 2 weeks ago and says, Dad, all of my friends are getting together to watch American Psycho. Now, this is a movie that came out in the year, I believe, 2000, starring Christian Bale, based on a best-selling novel. And it has copious amounts of everything bad. This is, I would put it in my top 10 list of movies I would never want my children watching.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was also a teen boy once, and teen boys, by nature, they go out and look for the most extreme thing, you know, to go experience that together. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't have anybody helping me make those decisions, and I made some really bad decisions. And he said, you know, what do you think? I said, you know, bud, I know that we're allowing you to see more and more things and we're talking about that, but I think this one's going to be out of bounds. And here's why, you know,
yeah.
It's got a massive amount of sexual content. It's got a massive amount of nasty violence. And because I have a relationship where there's give and take, yeah. A, I'm glad he even came to me.
Mm. And asked the question.
He could have gone to his friend's house and watched this and I would have never been the wiser. But we may think it's self-evident that this is terrible.
Yeah.
It's self-evident that no person who cares about morals or values would ever see this movie, but it's not self-evident to your 15-year-olds. And with the advent of smartphones and all of the entertainment that was ever created in the history of the world is available to them, even if you've got good boundaries in your house, there's nothing to say that their friends do. And we want to be able to equip families to have a conversation.
That's so good.
And to go to that review and say, well, and that's what I did. I went to Plugged In and said, here's what's in this movie. I'm going to say no on this one.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? Because we did that with our boys too. And the conversation we had was, what are we putting in our eye gate and our ear gate? Because whatever goes in is going to come out somewhere.
Somewhere along the line.
And so we talked about that. You know, what are we putting into our eyes? What are we putting into our ears? Because it does reproduce.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. Exactly. And when
including nightmares.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you're talking about the audience that tends to come to Plugged In, you would think that they would have, I don't know if higher standards would be the word we would use, but honestly, our audience watches the very same things that the broader culture does.
Yeah.
These are issues that are in churches, in schools, everywhere that you go. And because of that, we really need to just keep on top of the culture as a whole. Not to talk about the culture as we wish it would be, but the culture as it is.
Yeah,
it's good.
A couple of years ago, there was a movie that came out, an R-rated movie called Magic Mike.
Yeah.
It was a movie about male strippers.
Yeah.
Like, if ever there seemed to be something that would be self-evident, like, why would you cover that movie?
Mm.
We had 60,000 page views of that review the first weekend.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure some of it is rubberneckers, like, oh, what are the crazy Christians saying about the male stripper? Like, we know that we have a certain percentage of people who may want to come to us because they think our perspective is hysterically countercultural. Mm. But even with something like when the first 50 Shades of Grey movie came out, and we had an ongoing conversation about that here at Focus.
Yeah, you would have said, should we, should we not, should
and
we, should
we covered the first one and we didn't cover the subsequent ones. Mm. But we had a lot of people who said, my girlfriends were going to take me to this movie and I didn't know what it was and I read your review. And so, again, those of us who are plugged into the culture may have a really good radar for what something is.
Yeah.
But because of that avalanche of stuff out there, a lot of people have no idea.
Mm. You know, 50 Shades of Grey is an interesting example. I was the one who actually reviewed the first one. And it was a very difficult
movie. How could you divert your eyes?
It was.
Paul, that would have been very difficult.
Well, we can come back to that question because it's an important question.
Yeah. It was a really difficult movie to review. And it was painful in some ways. But because of where that movie was, it allowed us in our review to talk about the brokenness.
Mm.
What these people are seeking, what these people are searching for, they're seeking a level of transcendence that they're trying to find through really unsavory means.
Yeah.
And in the review, we were able to point people to really where you find that transcendent experience.
Yeah.
And I knew that there were people who were going to be reading it who didn't necessarily share what we believe, what we think. It was an opportunity, I think, to just plant a little seed in a couple of readers' hearts and minds, maybe.
So a part of that question would be, do you have to watch the whole movie or do you try and skim through? But as I understand, you have to watch it from the start to the finish because otherwise you're not getting a full review.
Right.
And we're at this weird place in our culture where you may think you know what's in a movie. For example, the Motion Picture Association of America here at least does a rating, and then they'll say, you know, rated R for graphic nudity, strong violence, that sort of thing. You would think, okay, it says graphic nudity. Lately, there's been a huge spate of male nudity as a joke, right? And so the graphic nudity is a naked guy running across the screen. So unless you actually see it, even with those descriptors, we may not know what the content is now.
And we also know around the world, ratings change.
Oh, they change.
Sure.
It's not the same.
It's very subjective. But here in the United States, the one line that we have drawn in terms of, okay, so is there a way we can know something's out of bounds ahead of time? If something has strong sexual content and graphic nudity in the MPAA description, we're typically not going to do those movies. So again, it's trying to say, where's the line?
Yeah.
But we also acknowledge that there's a lot of stuff out there that people are seeing that we don't know what the problems are. And I think the other thing I would say with regard to 50 Shades of Grey, there was a big kerfuffle over that in our ministry conversation. You know, where's the line? And I remember Paul saying, the reality is a lot of these TV shows streaming on these services are way more graphic than what you saw in that movie. And so something will rise to the top as the big controversial thing, but there's all this stuff under the radar that actually may have more problems. And we want to let people know
about
that.
A lot of TV shows start off okay, TV shows, for example.
Yeah.
And then they progress to be more left-leading and or more graphic or more violent or more suggestive. And you go, it started off pretty good and then it changed.
And that's the struggle when it comes to reviewing TV. I've been reviewing TV ever since I've been here. And it can be so frustrating because with a movie, you have a product. Mm. You can tell what is in it from beginning to end. With a TV show, it changes all the time.
Yeah.
And we can be taken off guard sometimes by what we see come through the pipe.
Yeah, even just with you talking about this, I think sometimes parents go to Plugged In because they need the backup. So that they might see it. Right. They might even see it themselves. But they know that their kids really don't want to listen to what mom and dad says. Oh, right. You're just saying that because you're old. And you really just don't get it. But you go, oh, well, look, you know, let's look at Plugged In and see what they have to say about it. It's like,
we
it's
can not be just, the bad cop.
That's right. It's like, it's the good cop, bad cop. But I just think that's that wonderful backup where you've done the full-on research. Like a parent can sit through it, look at it, but they might miss these swear words or miss that. But you guys have done the full review, and that's so helpful.
I'm intrigued. I got to find out how many swear words there are and word counts. And I'm intrigued
because it's basically an analytics process.
It is.
So this is what we use in the theater. For those who can't see, obviously, and most of you can't, it's a light up pen. Essentially, and I use a light-up pen to take notes when I'm in a movie theater.
Yep.
Adam and a few others tend to use little tiny flashlights
to take notes.
And yeah, we write down almost everything. We all have different modes of how we take notes. For swears, that's always one of the most interesting questions because you think, how can you tell if there's 43 words like
specifically because some people think one word's a swear word and another word isn't.
Right, right. And sometimes we do have to sort of double check, you know, if we have two people seeing a movie, that way we can have a little bit of.
You said 43. I said it's 42.
Exactly.
It's like a boxing match.
Exactly. And who knows? A parent might say, oh, you know, I could deal with 42, but 43 beyond
the floor. Over the edge.
Yeah. So I actually have just a little separate sheet of paper that I mark down all the swear words
on. And I just write one streaming flow and then I go back through it later. And for me, I liken it almost to a track meet. I will write nonstop for 2 hours, my little chicken scratch scribbles. And when I get done, I might have 50 to 75 pages of notes.
Adam kills so many trees.
That's a tree. So I almost think of it, we're almost like social scientists or anthropologists in terms of how we try to cover things. And, you know, the follow-up question is, and you hinted at it, how do you deal with the extreme content that you see? Mm. And there are a couple different answers to that question. But one of the first ones really is the fact that it becomes a very clinical activity. Right. When you're sitting there taking notes,
you're on the job.
You're on the job. And it's not to say that those images can't influence you. I'm not making that argument. But there's something about you know, there's breast nudity in this scene, explicit sex scene, movements. When you're writing that down, it's a very different experience and one where you have a remove because of that. Yeah. There's a subjectivity versus objectivity.
Well, you're not really engaged in the movie as a watcher.
No. Not in the same way.
You're looking at it in a totally different, you know, it is like somebody at a track meet.
Yeah.
And you're going, you're watching and you go, oh, isn't that exciting? And they're coming ahead and they're doing this.
Yeah.
And you're so engaged in that rather than trying to pick it apart. Well, they moved their arms incorrectly there.
Right.
And their stride was incorrect there, or they took off too fast, or they.
Yep.
I think that what Adam said earlier about being an anthropologist is quite correct. I mean, we really are going in there with that remove.
Yeah.
The other thing that has helped me as we've gone through this is the ability, we have a lot of conversations within the Plugged In team.
Yep, yep.
When we see a movie, we engage with that movie deeply, and we like to bounce a lot of ideas off of people.
Yep.
And it sort of goes back to one of the primary things that I encourage parents or users to do, not to let movies sit in your brain.
Mm.
It's important to sort of process them with other people, to be able to talk with other people about the ideas that you see, the problems that you see. Sometimes for me, because I tend to think a lot when I'm writing, a lot of times I don't even know what I think about a movie until I actually start writing the review.
Yeah. We're probably 2/3 of the way through our conversation. and I think we need to have you back.
We're there.
I think that we can come back.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Adam Holt and Paul Assay from Focus on the Family's Plugged In team. You can find their website with a range of entertainment guidance at pluggedin.com. Hopefully you've been encouraged by what you've heard and consider how you can take on board some of their insights to understand and navigate some of today's culture. If you'd like some other helpful free video resources on parenting and relationships, and even something for the kids, they can be found on our FamilyCast platform. Go to families.org.au. I'm Brett Ryan. On behalf of my wife, Kate, and the rest of the Focus team, we look forward to you tuning in again for part two of this conversation next weekend on Focus on the Family, Australia.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.